redistributing paper burden. And those of you who are familiar with paper burden from a smaller business perspective would not find that surprising. However, our friend Don Lipset brought with him a great deal of paper from the United States. He has no particular desire to carry it back through customs, which might involve the paying of some duties. We were talking about multiple levels of taxation. Don't tax Don's patience. Help yourselves. There are other organizations which have shared their periodicals, their literature, their promotion with us. Please help yourselves. Spread it around. Get the message out. And Don will thank you from the bottom of his heart, or at least his suitcase. We are pleased to see with us today a number of members of the Fourth Estate who are attending either as members of the Philadelphia or Charlottetown societies or as our guests. We appreciate the fact that they also recognize that this is a private gathering of friends, and as they're our friends, they are more than welcome. The Grope and Flail this morning was kind enough to describe this as a meeting of right minds. And for once, they got the story straight. This is a rather great improvement on the normal standard of Globe and Mail journalism these days. Our guest today is speaking on the art of influencing public policy. I think most Canadians and Americans are somewhat bewildered at the process of making public policy. As a friend of mine on Parliament Hill once said, laws are like sausages. If you want to enjoy them, you shouldn't watch them being made. The politicians, bureaucrats, and lobbyists of Washington, and indeed of Ottawa, often appear to be living in a different world from the rest of us, especially those who have to live in the real world of the productive sector. It sometimes reminds you of that classic New Yorker magazine cartoon of New York City, in which the world appeared from the perspective of a New Yorker looking for the East River to be dominated by Manhattan with a dim view of the Jersey Shore and the Pacific Ocean looming up right behind the Jersey Shore. Well, so to many people within the Washington Beltway is the world of the United States. Anything that exists or matters has to live within the Beltway. Well, to deal with this social disease, we have managed, or the conservative movement in the United States has managed, to infiltrate, to inject a number of antibodies into the body politic of the federal capital. Our speaker this morning has been, or this afternoon, has been an important part of what Jim Watt described in the 1980 campaign as the effort to turn the liberals out of government and put Americans back in. Under the Nixon administration, he was a founder and director of the Republican Study Committee, which allowed Republican congressmen and senators to meet in an intellectually positive and stimulating atmosphere to discover that there actually were ideas other than those of building big government, Nixon style. As president of the Heritage Foundation, our guest has created or has built one of the most effective and impressive practical tributes to the promotion and communication of ideas in the United States, among the 200 or more organizations dedicated to promoting government ideas or ideas in policy to limit government. The clear, timely, hard-hitting presentation of new ideas or the explosion of liberal myths has been a hallmark of Heritage Foundation policy work no less or not least in the Mandate for Leadership, published in 1980, which was the blueprint for the success of the Reagan administration's first term. Our guest today is a trustee of the Intercollegiate Studies Institute, spreading conservative ideas in academia, a treasurer of the Montpellier Society, past president of the Philadelphia Society, a graduate of Wharton and the University of Edinburgh, and one of the most creative minds and leaders to distinguish the conservative movement in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure and privilege today to have as our guest speaker, Dr. Ed Fulmer.